I want to preach to you this evening and challenge you with a thought that I believe is very basic. I believe it's very elementary, but I believe that's what the Christian life is. You know, if we're not careful, we complicate things. But it's amazing when it all comes down to it, it just goes back to the basics. Brother Treber says so many times, just the basics. Love God, read your Bible, pray, go to church, be a soul winner, you know, give, praise the Lord. It's so basic, but we can complicate things. I'm going to give you a simple message tonight. I want to preach and teach and challenge you this evening on this subject of three things, three items that every Christian must pick up, three items that every Christian must have. I'll give you an illustration. We'll get into it. My wife and I and these ladies, we had our debut, our first trip over our spring break. It was the second week in March, and we flew out of San Jose. We flew into Chicago. We landed at Chicago Midway Airport on a Friday evening, probably about 9 o'clock, and we had about 5 hours to drive to get to our first place in Iowa. And then we made a kind of a big loop. We were in Iowa, we went into Minnesota, came back down through Illinois, Michigan, and came back and flew out of Chicago. I think in 9 days we hit, I think it was 12 or 13 churches. It was insane. We drove almost 3,000 miles, you know, and it was Chicago and the Midwest, and it was cold, and, you know, actually it was more rainy than snow, but it was a mess. But I was excited about it. I grew up in the Midwest. My wife's from the Midwest. Heidi's from Rockford, Illinois. We got to be there. I was excited about the trip until we landed in Chicago Airport, Midway Airport, and I grabbed the rental vehicle, and I pulled around and picked up the group, and you know, we're home free. You know, I'm thinking I'm going to escape Chicago as quickly as I can. I'm going to get out of this traffic. So I said to my wife, I said, Joanna, would you do me a big favor? I said, would you reach down in my briefcase, just it's more of just a satchel type bag, and I said, would you grab the GPS and punch in the address for our first stop? My wife very patiently, very lovingly, very kindly said, I don't see the GPS in your bag. I said, well, of course it's in there. I mean, do you think I'd forget to pack it? I mean, hello. I mean, of course it's there. I know it's there. I put it there. She looked again, couldn't find it. I'm driving in Chicago, trying to find my way out of Chicago, you know, reaching in there. It's dark, and I'm thinking, it's not there. I thought, man, I lost it along the way. But no, I didn't. I left it at home. You know, last place I'd put it, it was there. But, you know, that trip would have been a whole lot better, driving 3,000 miles, five different states, 13 different churches. That trip would have been a whole lot better with the GPS. Would you agree that might have been a little smoother, a little less stressful? But you know what's amazing as Christians? There are some things that if we would just pick up and take with us, if there would be some things that we would have as a part of our lives every day, it'd make the life, our life, our Christian life, so much more enjoyable. It'd make it so much easier. Many of Jeremy Coburnat's problems are self-inflicted. Most of the problems that I face, I'm the one that caused them. And there are three things I believe every Christian must pick up. Let's look at the first one here. We'll have a word of prayer in just a moment. But Judges chapter 8, we find the story of Gideon and, of course, the victory over the Midianite army. Amazing. Gideon's 300 versus the Midianites, and they had already defeated 120,000. They're just kind of cleaning up with the last 15,000. And it says down in verse 18, then said he unto Zeba and Zalmunna, what manner of men were they whom ye slew at Tabor? And they answered, as thou art, so were they. Each one resembled the children of a king. And he said, they were my brethren, even the sons of my mother. As the Lord liveth, if ye had saved them alive, I would not slay you. Verse 20, and he said unto Jether, his firstborn, up and slay them. Boy, that's exciting there. You think about Jether, Gideon's firstborn. He had the opportunity to be a part of one of the greatest victories on record. Gideon's 300 versus the entire Midianite army. But you know the rest of the story found in verse 20. The Bible tells us that Jether, the youth, drew not his sword, for he feared because he was yet a youth. And you know, this is a truth that we preach a lot to young people. But I'll tell you, I know a lot of older folks, I know a lot of adults that we are failing to pick up the sword of the Word of God. Here we find a young man who would not pick up the sword, and we know nothing else about the life of Jether. A lot of potential there. He was a could have been. He was a should have been. He was a would have been, but he didn't pick up the sword. And I believe, of course, you know that the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, is one item that every Christian must pick up. I'm going to preach on that and a few others in the next, about 15, 20 minutes. But let's pray and ask the Lord to bless this evening. Lord, speak to us now. And Lord, we've already been blessed by the great singing, the great hospitality of your people, the fellowship one with another. Lord, what an exciting church. What a good crowd on a Wednesday night. What a blessing to be at a place that preaches your word and people who have been faithful to serve you and to love you and to see souls saved and lives changed. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be helped tonight. May our hearts be open. May our minds be receptive. And Holy Spirit of God, I pray that you would do a work tonight like only you can do. Lord, we don't want to waste the time tonight. We don't want to just go through the motions. So Lord, we need you to please accomplish that which your word has set out to do in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Three items that every Christian must pick up. Number one is the sword of the Scriptures. Now again, we've known that since we were children. You know, the Word of God, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. The Word of the Lord, we need the Bible. But may I say, it's true, we need it. And we never outgrow it. And that's why as for children, we try to get them to memorize it and to read it and to study it and know the Bible stories, because we want to apply it to our lives every single day. Here we find a young man, Jether, who was afraid to pick up the sword. He had the opportunity to pick up the sword. And by the way, that was the only way that he could be victorious, is by picking up the sword.
Right.
And I'll say the only way that we can be victorious is by picking up the sword.
Amen.
You believe we're in a battle today?
Right.
I think Lester Roloff had it right. He said, it's a battlefield, brother,
right,
not a recreation
right
field. It's a fight and not a game. I don't want to go into a fight without the sword. That's why Ephesians 6 says we're to take on the whole armor of God. We've got the defensive, but then it says you got to pick up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Number one, the sword of the Scriptures. We find Jether couldn't pick it up. But would you flip over to 2 Samuel 23? 2 Samuel 23, we find another man who had an opportunity to pick up a sword. His name was Eleazar, one of David's mighty men. And in 2 Samuel 23, verse 10, the Bible says that he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day. Now, folks, do you see the contrast here? One rascal, Jether, couldn't pick it up. And here's another guy. I'll tell you what it's good for. Ephesians 6:17, it's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Hebrews 4:12, it's quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing. Now, we don't like that piercing part, but we need it. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and it's a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's hard to read this book, and it's hard to really get in this book when you're not right with God. Because this book demands that you either get right with God or you be miserable. This book isn't going to change for you. This book is not going to change to accommodate your lifestyle or my lifestyle. We've got to go the Bible way, not our own. This book, Revelation 1:16, it says, out of his mouth went a sharp, two-edged sword. Revelation 19, the sword that proceedeth from his mouth. The Scriptures are good for salvation. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The Scriptures are necessary for our daily reading, for the preaching of the Word of God. Scriptures are necessary for our sanctification. We already said it, but this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. This book is good for soul winning. When we go soul winning, what are we telling people? We're telling them what the Bible says. We're telling them the Bible way to heaven. This book is good for supplication. It teaches us how to pray. This book is good for searching. Hebrews 4:12, it searches our hearts. It finds the things that need to be changed and tells us how to change them. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, the Word of God. My question this evening is, have you picked up the sword? Have you picked it up? Have you picked it up today? Have you picked it up every day this week? Have you picked it up every day this month? You say, well, I haven't. Well, guess what? I've got good news for you. You can start today. And then you can do it again tomorrow and the next. But it's necessary. Your pastor, he'll be the first to tell you. If the only Bible you get is the preaching on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, that old devil's having a field day with you. He's having a field day with me. We must get into the book. And if you have picked it up, I want to challenge you to be like Eliezer and don't put it down. Number one, items that every Christian must pick up is the sword of the Scriptures. Number two, I want you to turn with me to 1 Kings 19. 1 Kings 19. We find an amazing story about a man by the name of Elijah. The problem was that Elijah wouldn't be around forever. Elijah needed somebody who would carry on the ministry, someone who he could pass on the ministry to, and his name was Elisha. 1 Kings 19, verse 13. The Bible says, and it was so when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle. That's interesting. 1 Kings 19 and verse 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. Now, you say, well, what in the world? First of all, he's wrapping his face in the mantle, and next thing you know, he's walking by someone, and he's just throwing the mantle on. Hope you don't mind that, brother. This thing was dry cleaned 3 years ago, so it shouldn't be too bad. And it won't hurt you either. The pocket knife is in. Oh, no, after that pocket, it's open. Be careful. And so Elijah comes by and just throws the mantle on Elisha. What's that all about? Well, you know, because when Elijah was getting ready to be taken up into heaven, Elisha said to Elijah, he said, before you go, just have one request. I want a double portion of your spirit to be upon me. That's a pretty bold request. We're talking about Elijah who saw fire fall on Mount Carmel. We're talking about Elijah who prayed that it would not rain, and it rained not the space of 3 years and 6 months. It's a pretty powerful guy. Elijah says, oh, all I want is a double portion. Oh, really, that's it? But Elijah says, if you see me when I'm taken up, it shall be granted. That's why Elisha, he was following close behind Elijah. He wasn't letting him out of his sight. He says, I'm not letting you go, buddy. I want to see you when you're taken up. The Bible tells us in 2 Kings that Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind in chariots of fire. And when he was taken up, the Bible says that his mantle fell to the ground. You know, Elisha was then faced with a choice.
Right.
He wanted the double portion. But the double portion didn't just come served on a silver platter. He had to be willing to pick up the mantle. And not just pick it up, but he had to put it on.
There you go.
I'm talking to some folks here that we've had our Sunday school teachers, we've had our pastors, we've had our parents, we've had our youth directors, we've had all of our godly examples to look to. But one of these days, they're going to be off the scene. And we're going to need you to be willing to pick up that mantle and put it on.
Amen.
Now, you see, the mantle, I'll call it the mantle of ministry. I believe every Christian must pick it up. I don't believe you have to be in full-time ministry such as a pastor or missionary, but every Christian ought to be a full-time Christian.
Right.
Every
right.
Christian ought to be involved in some area of ministry.
Yes,
I know this, every Christian ought to be a soul winner. That's not just for the pastor. That's not just for the youth pastor. That's not just for the teenagers. That's for everybody. I know that every Christian ought to be involved in junior church, or you ought to be involved in the bus ministry, or you ought to be involved in, you know, running the vacuum, doing whatever. work for us to do. He should have just taken us home when we got saved. But we are not saved to sit. Right. We're saved to serve. Hey, we're saved to do something about it. Yes. But my question for you is, have you personally picked up the mantle of ministry? Now think about this. Elijah, if you studied out, and I've done some study, not done in depth, maybe you could correct me. But the best I can tell, Elijah and his ministry performed 7 major miracles. Major miracles. Elisha asked for a dough portion, and at the time of Elisha's death, he had performed 13 major miracles. It's pretty close, huh? Almost. So close. Almost the complete fulfillment of the dough portion. But you know the story. Elisha was dead and gone. And there was a funeral procession. They were burying somebody, and they saw the Moabites invading. And they didn't know what to do with this body. They just threw him in the nearest sepulcher, and it just so happened to be Elisha's. The Bible says that when that dead body touched the bones of Elisha, he was revived. And that dead man came back to life by touching the bones of Elisha. Miracle number 14. Amen. Fulfillment of the double portion. Good. But here's my question for you. What if Elisha had not picked up the mantle?
Yes, right.
What would have happened to the nation of Israel every time those Syrians attacked? If Elisha had not been there to see that they won the victory, what would have happened to that Shunammite woman's son?
Right. Yes, sir.
Who died?
Good.
Who Elisha raised from the dead? What would have happened? What would have happened with that deadly pottage when Elisha came on the scene to make sure that that was taken care of? What would have happened to all of those people who were impacted by Elisha had he not picked up the mantle? Here's a question we can, I think, bring home. What if Pastor Ross had not started this church? What if Pastor Jerry Ross had not picked up the mantle and continued? Where would you be? And where would a lot of people be? I believe that God would have perhaps used other ways or other things, but your lives personally have an impact greatly because someone was willing to pick up the mantle. Someone was willing to pick up the mantle, but it doesn't stop there. We need some more folks that'll pick up the mantle. You see, I believe every Christian needs to have the sword of scriptures. Every Christian must have the mantle of ministry. But thirdly, and I'm done with this one, I believe every Christian must pick up the cross of commitment. Now, I want to be very careful with this. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but he washed it white as snow. And it's for by grace that we're saved through faith, not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. I'm not saying you have to pick up the cross of commitment in order to seal your salvation. Not at all. Yeah, we're saved by receiving the gift of eternal life. It's free. No strings attached. But I believe, as I mentioned earlier, once you're saved, there's a job that God has for us to do. And the cross of commitment is something that every Christian must be willing to pick up. Jesus said, if you want to be a disciple, you must take up your cross daily and follow me. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You see, there's a cross for every Christian to bear. There's a burden for you to bear. There's a cross for you to carry. God has given me a cross to carry. God has allowed me for the last 5.5 years to serve at Golden State Baptist College. And may I say, it's been the privilege of my life to get to work for my pastor, Brother Treber, to get to teach college young people, to get to travel with the group and to preach and to try to stir something in the hearts of some young people. But may I say, my cross is going to be different from your cross. But you and I both have to figure out what that cross is. You've got to figure out what it is God has for you. Maybe it is a Sunday school class. Maybe it is a pastor just saying, hey, I need to count on you every week to get these buildings tip-top shape. Maybe it's driving the bus out there, as I saw someone doing coming in. Maybe it's, hey, I'm going to have a burden to start a nursing home ministry. I'm going to have a burden. And all that needs to go through your pastor. But God has given me a burden to do something. I tell you what, there's a whole harvest out there that is plenteous, but the laborers are few. I want to challenge you this evening to pick up the cross of commitment. 1 Corinthians 1 talks about the preaching of the cross. Galatians 6, the persecution of the cross. Galatians 6, Paul said, I will glory in the cross. Hebrews 12, 2 talks about being obedient to the cross. Jesus was obedient. Philippians 2, 8, he was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I don't know what your cross is. I do know what my cross is. And I want to be faithful to pick up that cross every day and to serve God till I breathe my dying breath.
Amen.
What about you?
Amen.
Have you picked it up? I think about Simon the Cyrene.
Yes.
I personally, and this is my opinion, I don't personally believe that Jesus could not have carried the cross on his own. Although when you say the crucifixion, it's amazing that he could. But you know, I believe that was a great picture, that Jesus is looking for some people that will be willing to carry their cross. That they would be willing to bear the burden of serving and ministering and living for an almighty God.
Yes, sir.
What about you?
Good.
Your cross, my cross, I'll tell you a couple things it is. It's surrendering to God. It's serving God. And our cross, I believe, is sacrificing for God.
Amen.
Now, I give you this and I'm done. I promise you this time. You know how that goes, right? Preacher says he ain't closing. He doesn't mean anything until about the sixth time. It's my second time, and I'm really bringing it down here. My wife is not crazy about, you know, McDonald's or Burger King, hamburgers and fries and all that. I am. That's just the way it is. I know it's not healthy. I know it's, you know, I know you take care of your temple and all that, but I'm telling you what, I just believe God will be happy serving the Lord. Now, I'll tell you what revival is. You come to California, we got a place called In-N-Out Burger that puts all these fast food places to shame. It's unbelievable. But you know, when you go to grab a hamburger and fries, and just pretend you like it even if you don't, but if you go to grab a burger and fries, that's good when it's hot, when it's fresh. But if I were to go to In-N-Out Burger or McDonald's or whatever and take about 3/4 of that burger, but just take about 3/4 of that burger and put the rest back in the bag and eat about, you know, leave about 3 or 4 fries left, you know, the little ones that, you know, trickle down to the bottom of the bag, and wipe my mouth with a napkin, throw it in, and, you know, the ketchup wrappers, throw those in, and wrap it all up and bring it in and say, brother, just want to let you know I'm sacrificing for you. I thought I'd give you some food. Would you be impressed with my sacrifice? Not at all. Because I'm not actually sacrificing, I'm just giving my leftovers.
Hey, that's it.
I'm afraid Jeremy Overnat's life, many times, that's what God's giving.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the best. It's not the sacrifice. It's not, wow, that's amazing. It's what I have left over.
Yeah.
It's normally what we do with our time.
Mm-hmm.
It's normally what we do with our money.
Yeah.
That's normally what we do with our focus and our energy. We give God the leftovers.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what I want to do.
Right.
I want to give Him my best. Would you say He deserves our best?
Amen.
Yes,
sir. Yes, sir.
So, God gave His best. He gave His only begotten Son. Jesus gave His best when He died on the cross. And I would be willing to carry my cross of commitment. And I want to be committed for a lifetime to carry that cross and to serve the Lord and bring honor and glory to Him. Let's pray. Lord, I thank You for the time we've had together. Lord, I don't know, but I hope maybe these three thoughts would be a help and a blessing. And may we examine our lives and may we be sure that we pick up the sword of the Scriptures. Lord, may we be sure that we have picked up that mantle of ministry. May we be sure that we've picked up that cross of commitment. And Lord, if we've picked those up, but perhaps we've laid them down, I pray that this evening we'd pick them back up. I pray we'd get right back on track. Lord, I pray that You would help us. May we live for You. May we live our lives in accordance with Your Word. And Lord, may we do all we can to see souls saved and lives changed. Thank You for this church and the great testimony that it has. May this church be filled with folks who will stay committed to picking up these three items. Lord, may we not forget them. And Lord, I pray that we would bring honor and glory to you because of what we've heard tonight and perhaps the decisions we make. In Jesus' name, amen.